And a few Sundays ago, it was the International Day of Prayer for the Poor, globally all over the world. And October, I know that we're in November 1, but October is meant to be the month of awareness for the poor in Hong Kong. And in fact, this past Thursday, we hosted a conference here at SP. I'll talk about that a little bit more during my sermon. And Tim, our outreach director, can you stand up real quick, Tim? Yay! And Janella, our outreach coordinator, want to stand up, Janella? Yay! They've really done an amazing job of leading our church in awareness and in deeds as well. And so Janella is going to kick off what we're going to do. Today's service is going to be a little interactive. I'm going to ask you guys, some of you guys, to get out of your chairs and do a few things. And I'll come and give, trust me, a very short message today. We're going to get and have an incredible testimony as well. And so please just take it in. And at the end of the service, we're going to be taking up an offering for the poor. And this will be going, half of the money will be going to Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor. And the other half will be going to SP's Mission Fund, which deals with, we support over 10 or so ministries in Hong Kong that primarily deal with the poor and marginalized, and that'll be going to service their needs there. So be very well served. None of it's going to church. It's all going outwards, and so you can be very confident in your giving that way. But we'll do that after the service before we take communion, okay? So without further ado, let's welcome Janella.
Hello. Okay. Good morning, family. Hi. Thank you, PSAM. It's my privilege to get to speak to you all again on our annual Poverty Sunday. And PSAM basically did such a good job explaining what's going on that I can just really briefly run through some things for you guys, which is just want to let you guys know that the outreach team is here for you guys. If you guys want to respond to anything that you feel moved by God during the service, and you can come and find Tim or I, and we'll put our email up later on. And so Poverty Sunday was sparked, like what PSAM said, by the 10-10-10 initiative by Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor. And today I just really pray that you guys would receive and get aware and inspired and empowered. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Jeffrey up to kick us off and give testimony.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Jeffrey. I'm very happy to be here today to share a little bit about the Homey Outreach and also some of the things I've learned. Just a little bit about myself. I have been on the Homey Outreach team for just over 5 months now. I have generally been, I would call, a Christian, but a Sunday Christian for a long time. It's just in the last 2.5 years that I have started attending church more seriously and regularly. Well, before Homey Outreach, I've actually never served in any church activities ever. So why did I join Homey Outreach? I have 2.5 reasons. The first one is a powerful one, and my wife actually told me to. sometime last year, she actually sort of mentioned and suggested that, hey, since I speak Cantonese and Mandarin, maybe I should just think about joining this and helping out this area. And I, at that time, I was like, really? Is that really something that I have to do? So second reason, now at the retreat earlier in May, one of the messages from Pastor Benjamin was that for Christians to grow, we'll have to be plugged into a community, and that is the church, and to be a part of what it's doing. And we've also had sermons before that talked about living a missional lifestyle. And at that time, I thought, okay, I better not delay this, and I should just follow the lead. Now, the last half reason was that somehow I recall someone said something along the lines that one would be able to find Jesus among the poor. And at the back of my mind, I thought I would just take a look. And so I decided to join the Homie Outreach, and that was in late May this year. So what's the format of the outreach? We're usually divided into three teams, and we will be visiting the same household each time, generally. This will be family or people who are single, who live in old subdivided apartments, kind of like cage homes. When we go there, we will just chat, kind of like when you have friends visiting your home. So what are the things I've learned in the Homie Outreach experience? Four things, really. The first is that we all can share, and it's not just those that have. The very first time I went for the retreat, for the outreach, I went to visit this family with kids. I had a great time playing with the kids, perhaps because I got quite a bit of practice with my own little kids in the past. And so at the end, the elder kid wanted to give me three little chops for stamping. I was very happy, I was touched, but then I was also thinking whether I should actually accept it because they don't look like they have a lot of toys to me. And in the end, the mom also asked me to accept it, and so I thought, okay, I'll just take it. And later on, when I thought about it, I realized that I've actually encountered grace for the very first time in my first visit. The kid gave out of the heart. She did not see this in terms of haves or have nots in material terms. And in fact, the kid was not counting. And I was actually the one who was counting and looking at the whole thing from a have and have nots perspective, and was really humbled by how the kid shared with me. The second thing I learned was, do I want an outreach relationship that is personal? The kid's gift, even though it's small, but it also got me thinking whether I should give her something back in return, or whether it's actually right to give something in an outreach like this. On the one hand, I didn't think the relationship was meant to be material, to be based on material things. But then my wife and also some of my homemade team members later on pointed out that when you get a gift and you give one back, it is just the beginning of a normal human relationship and friendship. And then I thought perhaps subconsciously I wanted to protect myself by keeping these people at a distance, at a safe distance, and they're just, you know, for every other Thursday, Sunday when I go for the outreach. And then I thought, well, what if later on they actually say we get to know each other and then they call me and then I get sort of, you know, things get, and I don't know how to handle and things get real messy. What do I do? And just as I was pondering and reflecting on all this, it became apparent to me that just as Jesus had come into my life and wanted a personal relationship with me and got involved in my messy life, I should not simply be expecting relationships to be just nice and neat. Rather, I should try to build a personal relationship with them. The third thing I learned is that it's about poverty, that poverty is actually not just about the lack of money. Janella introduced to the team a video called Helping Without Hurting. It's online, and it really clarified for me the subject of poverty. A lot of us, and including myself earlier on, may have defined poverty in material terms, in terms of the lack of money, lack of housing, lack of food, lack of wealth, lack of material things. Since this is how we define the problem, and so very often when we try to help or resolve the problem, we would try to provide these people with material necessities. But it's actually a lot more than that. In the video, while some poor people would also mention a lack of material things, a lot of them actually describe their condition in far more psychological and social terms, being feeling lonely, feeling helpless, inferior, no hope, no confidence, alone and trapped due to lack of opportunities or lack of community or lack of social network. So to deal with poverty, it is not just about fixing the seemingly lack of material things, but we need to look a lot deeper at the underlying problems and examine the relationships that might be broken in oneself. These relationships being with God, with self, with others, and with everything else that God has created. Ultimately, we need to help people discover that they are made by God in His image, have tremendous value as a human being, and that God bless them with talents and gifts that they can use to help themselves and others. It is about walking side by side humbly with each other, encouraging and empowering each other side by side. And to me, this whole process is very much like a personal spiritual journey that one has to go through, and is something that we all have to personally learn sometime during our walk with God. Now, flowing from this, the fourth thing I've learned is that we can all be spiritually poor. I was really enlightened on this point by some of the things that the people that I visited said. One of them said, I felt really lonely because my kids don't visit me much at all. Another would say, I just had an argument with my spouse and I felt really upset. And I was just, I don't want to reveal too much details here, but what I realized was that this kind of conversation is actually something that I can have with anyone, whether you are materially rich or poor. And I could, in fact, well be the one who's saying the same things, because at that time I just had a big argument with my wife, and so I was like, oh, okay, I can really relate to that. And I realized I'm no different from any of them, that we are all spiritual beings, and it is not about what I have, what I don't have materially. Spiritually, I'm just as poor as everyone else, and I'm just as broken as everyone else. So in conclusion, through the outreach, I found myself to have learned a lot more about God and about my own faith. God and faith is no longer just some intellectual belief that I read about, think about, or sing about, or be emotional about from time to time. It's actually become real and personal, and it's actually relevant on a daily basis. So if you are someone who has the heart and time, and time meaning that 8 hours a month, and able to commit, and hopefully you've completed the GIC course, I hope you will just be able to come and join us and just hang out with us all, just like friends. Would be fantastic if you could speak Cantonese or Mandarin, but doesn't matter, it's really the heart that counts. In fact, I would encourage you to just join any of the outreach programs, SP Light, Prison, Igape, or Bridge, just anything. Honestly, if someone like me who's been passive and who generally sit at the back of the church or somewhere on the last four rows, no offense, guys. And if I can do it, and I think you can definitely do it too. So I hope to see you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. That was awesome testimony. So every year during Poverty Sunday, the outreach team tries to bring an experiential element to the service to help us learn. And today I have the privilege to facilitate an exercise which will help us look at opportunity and privilege in a more visual and tangible way. When trying to understand poverty, I think it's crucial, like what Jeffrey just said, that we acknowledge first that poverty has a face. And the poor, well, they're not just the poor. They have names and families, and we share emotions, the same emotions. And so we are basically the same. We are all people, and we're all made in the image of God. The purpose of the exercise today is to affirm that, yes, we are all the same as human beings, but there is something that we want to highlight that separates us, which is our opportunity. So with that, may I ask my volunteers to come up? I've selected a couple of volunteers before service. Yeah. Yes, that's you. Thank you. Let's give them a clap to encourage them. Okay, so we've also got three members of our outreach team here who will be representing someone who they know personally. Eunice. Can you say hi? Eunice will represent a 24-year-old female Ethiopian refugee. Sally represents a 40-year-old Filipino male living in public housing. And Yvain will represent a 24-year-old female struggling with health issues. So all these people live in Hong Kong. And our lovely volunteers, hi, they will be representing themselves. So This exercise is super simple. All they have to do is to respond to the questions that I'm asking by walking forwards or backwards in agreement with the question. So let's try that. Okay. If you feel comfortable being emotionally expressive or open, take one step forward. Just a normal step is good. Thanks. If you ever were discouraged from academic or jobs, or was treated less fairly because of your race, class, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation, take a step back. If you came from a supportive family environment, take one step forward. If you can afford to turn on the air conditioner when you're hot, take one step forward. If there were people who worked in your household as maids, gardeners, drivers, etc., take a step forward. If you have ever been diagnosed as having a physical or mental disability or illness, take a step back. If you've ever had to settle for a cheaper alternative of food, for example, semi-spoiled food, canned food, sales items, due to lack of money, take a step back. If you feel confident that your parents would be able to financially help and support you if you were going through a financial hardship, take a step forward. If you are reasonably sure that you'd be hired for a job based on your ability and qualifications, take a step forward. And if you have a family member who suffers from any form of addiction, gambling, alcoholism, drugs, etc., take a step back. So, due to our time restraints, because there are quite a few questions, let me show you our friends' final positions. As we did this last night, Sally and Eunice actually didn't have enough space to move all the way back, so they're just up against the wall, and it was quite shocking when we saw this for the first time. The gap was wider than we thought, and when seeing it physically like this, it gives our relationship a different dynamic. But let's give our volunteers a round of applause. Thank you, guys. Given this is a super simple experiment trying to address an incredibly complex issue, but I think this gives us a springboard with which we can begin to discuss our relationship with poverty and with privilege, material poverty and privilege. And of course, you guys all get to experience it today. Up here later on after service, I'll have a box that says questions on it, and you guys can take the questions, and here where the starting line is, you can go forwards and backwards in response to the questions, just like our volunteers did. In the back of your chairs, you'll see some stickers, and it would be great if you can take one of those stickers to represent yourself and mark your final position. I think it'd be really interesting to see where we are collectively as a church, and maybe even ask God what that means for the city. After your walk, we have three questions here in the basket that I'll bring up for you to process your experience. I highly encourage you to do so. And having said that, I want to make three simple points so that we are in the correct mindset to do this experiment. Number one, do not feel bad about where you end up on the spectrum. It's what you do with it that counts. It's not necessarily within our control what happens in our lives that lands us where we are today, but we serve a God who redeems everything and he wastes nothing. Number two, this exercise attempts to be contextualized to Hong Kong. There are some things on this list that we take for granted, like you'll see later on, going out for meals, or even that aircon question. Sometimes I turn on the aircon when I'm not even hot. And so that really spoke to me. Many of these questions reflect the lives of real people who have to make the more practical choice to leave their young child in McDonald's for 5 hours so that they can work to afford a uniform for their kid that they need for school. So in a city that has the greatest wealth gap in all of the developed economies, this reality is actually right in front of our eyes. So that's confusing too, because in a way, the fact that we even live in Hong Kong and are doing this in Hong Kong could be seen as a privilege too. So that brings me to my third and final point, which is that privilege is way more complicated than this. just like poverty, doing this example, you can take a step forward, but you know that in taking the step forward, you worked really hard to answer a step forward for that question. And it doesn't feel like a privilege at all. But please just bear in mind that this is, again, a simple experiment that we're using to begin a dialogue in talking about our relationship with poverty, with privilege. So when dealing with these issues, we cannot leave God out of it. Because like I said over and over again, it's a really complex issue. So we really need God's divine guidance and wisdom in order to make any sense of the mess and make any real progress at all. So with that, I highly recommend that you experience this walk today and let God affirm to you that you were blessed to be a blessing. Okay, thank you, everyone.
Sam, what are we doing right now?
I'm getting ready to look like a homeless person.
Okay, great. And why are you doing that?
I want to feel what it's like to be marginalized in our society. This is what I'm going to be sitting on for an hour.
And some cushioning.
SP. So this is the follow-up from my short time as a homeless person. And so I was given a set of questions to contemplate and think through. So I'm just going to go through a few of them here. What was my biggest takeaway? My biggest takeaway was really going back to that old idea of the invisibility of the poor. And I can imagine when you are an outcast in society for such a long time, and especially in our culture in Hong Kong, it's really about hard work. And even the poor here are working poor, which is an incredible testament to them. But someone that was just sitting down with a cup panhandling like I was doing, it's a very dehumanizing experience, to be perfectly honest. And so I can't imagine what that does to somebody long-term in that regard. And the last question was, how will this experience affect your behavior next time you walk past a beggar on the street? It'll cause me to think a lot clearer, for sure, and just realize that they're just not any person that's there. I know some people that are begging on the streets, it's triad related and all these things, but the reality is, even though that's happening, they're still poor. And I think we can always give something. Obviously the best is giving a touch of Christ. I'm always reminded of John and Peter at the Gate Beautiful. Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Now, had they had silver and gold, they would have gave them that too. But they said, I'm going to have it, but we're going to give you something else. And I think it's probably important for Christians to express Christian charity by giving something. If it's a triad thing and we feel like, well, I don't want to dig into or add to the coffers of the triads, go buy some food. Go buy a hot dog bun or whatever on the street and pass that to the beggar that's there, because they'll definitely eat that. And I think that might be very helpful in that regard. So thank you, Janella and Tim, for providing this opportunity for me to grow. And I really appreciate challenging me to do this. And I know many of you guys will also be challenged in the coming weeks also to be a little more aware of the poor in our city especially. Okay? Thank you, guys. Bless you. All right. God bless. Bye.
Amen. I know that's really awkward. But it was a very interesting challenge when Janella asked me to preach on this topic. It's actually the first Poverty Sunday that I've preached at. I've usually been traveling or gone during this time. And surely challenged me to not just give a message, but obviously what we talk about all the time is be the message, and to go through that challenge. And it was very interesting. And I encourage each of you guys to, I think after today, there are going to be some challenges. And what do you have to lose? I know it's embarrassing and it's a little bit of your time, but I think the lessons that you learn through it are lifelong. And I just really want to encourage you to pursue that. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14:31. If you're curious, I didn't get 1 cent during that time. And probably simply the fact that I was bigger than 95% of the people that walked in front of me. And so that might have something to do with it. But Proverbs 14:31. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Just a simple word here, verse 31, one verse. It says, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him." And he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God.
we really are quite humble, God, today. God, who are we, God, to speak on the poor, God? The simple reality, Lord, is we are an affluent church. Lord, we live in an affluent city, God, and many of us live very lavish lifestyles, Lord. Lord, some beyond our means, God. But even in that, Lord, we hear the cry of the gospel, Lord, the cry of your heart to be mindful to the poor, God, that when we bless them, God, we bless you. And so we pray that you would speak to us today through the text, God, and allow us to just really humble ourselves and be thankful for the opportunities, God, that you have given to us and that you give to us now, God, in relation to the poor in our city. Father, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. Help me to go beyond gifting, God, and release your anointing, Lord. We bless you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. The purpose, the Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor, they gather together to really, like I said, bring awareness to this very, very, I think, big issue in God's heart. And how are we to respond as churches and respond as Christians in that way? The purpose of this Poverty Sunday is to, and this is actually what Janella wrote to me, to create awareness for the situation in Hong Kong, as well as to empower and inspire people to do something and to reflect holistically and theologically about poverty. If you didn't know this already, Hong Kong, this wonderful city that we live in, has the largest wealth gap in the world. That is crazy. We have the richest of the rich, and we have the poorest of the poor. And that gap that separates the richest and poor of the poor is the widest in the world. That's not something that we need to be proud of in our society. And so how are we to respond to that as followers of Christ? Let me, first off, I just want to say that I'm extremely proud and blessed by our outreach staff. Tim and Janella and all of our leaders and all of our people that go on outreaches, it's just such a blessing. I remember it was probably about 4 years ago that after a front page newspaper in the South China Morning Post declared the fact that I told you that Hong Kong is the widest wealth gap in the world, and I remember I was sitting in my desk in the office and I read that and my heart just sunk. And I just knew that we had to respond to this in somehow. And we really, we did a lot of foreign missions. So we did a lot of things overseas. But in all honesty, we were probably very, very neglectful of our city that we call home, Hong Kong. And I spent some time at my desk repenting before the Lord as the senior pastor for leading our church in a very bad way, I would say. That we were mindful about overseas, but we're not mindful about people in our own backyard. And after I finished praying, I felt like God said, I want you to do something, Sam. And immediately, I end up calling Pastor Sophia, who is on our staff at that time in our office. And I said, Sophia, I have a mandate for you. I'm gonna set aside a certain amount of our missions fund money. It wasn't much at the time. I think it was $1 million Hong Kong. And I said, Sophia, I'm going to set aside this money from our missions fund, and I want you to use this just to minister to the poor in Hong Kong. And Sophia, woman of God, she just went for it and just started connecting with organizations and came up with all kinds of different ideas and strategies that Tim and Janella really began to ran with once they took over her position. And it is basically it's where we're at right now. I know there's so much more we can do and so many other areas we can grow in, but I'm proud of our church. I'm proud of where we come, even from 4 or 5 years ago to where we are today as a church. I'm proud of them because they tirelessly get our church thinking and praying and doing Philippians 2:3. This is the passage where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Paul starts off that verse by saying, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself." And our outreach team really are great reminders of that verse, to go out and think of others, even more lowly, that is more important than yourselves. Like I said, I've been privileged to be tasked with now helping us to think theologically about poverty. The outreach staff has done an incredible job inspiring us and calling us to reflect. Now let's go into the scriptures and let's begin to see what God will have for us. I want to first say, before we even touch on it, that the issue of poverty is so complex. The staff asked me, "No, PSAM, we want you to speak on this topic." That's why we're doing it in November, even though it's 10-10-10, meaning October, because this is actually the first Sunday that I can do it outside of my commitments that I had in Singapore and other places. And I thought it would be really easy. You know, let me just open up the Bible, just throw a few verses on poverty, give a little charge at the end, you know, like I do, and amen. And we move forward and we grow. But as I just simply got into the text, into the scriptures, it's so complicated. And I'm going to illustrate what I mean by this a little bit. And I think the biblical complications really speak into our societal complications when we think about the poor and about poverty in this way. Let me first start off by saying and defining the word poor in the scriptures. The word poor is in the Greek. I'm not going to say the word, but it comes from the root word that means to crouch. And so if you think about what it means to crouch, that is actually the root word that's used for the poor in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, and usually defined as lacking in anything. And so this goes way beyond just lacking financially, like Jeffrey shared about so eloquently, and others shared as well, that a lot of it deals with us in emotional poverty, that there's no one around, and I'll be talking about more of that later on. But the idea when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God," the poor in spirit, if you actually begin to go in and begin to take away from the text, what really is, it's being destitute of learning or having opportunities. And so, like many of you in this room, let's just be honest. Okay, let me say this. Almost all of us in this room, if we're to go on online and do the UN test about who is the poor in this world, every single person here, you are rich. Now, you may not be rich like Li Ka-shing, in fact, no one's rich like Li Ka-shing rich, but you may not be that level, but as we go through looking at the world and the statistics of the world, every single one of us, we are rich here. Now, there's many of us, they may think you're rich because you're smart or because you're born in some country that had opportunities or whatnot. And you know, all different things, but I want to kind of narrow all that down by, I know this is probably the least theological statement that I'll ever make, but it's because you're just lucky, all right? Turn to your neighbor. Hey, say, "Hey, good looking. You are one lucky," whatever you want to say, okay? So go ahead. Let me share the complexity in the scriptures. These are all of my notes, so just sit back, relax, okay? Luke 6:20, turning his gaze toward his disciples, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, Proverbs 22:4 says, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." And so here's Jesus talking about the poor, and he says, "Man, you're destitute, you're lowly, you are blessed." And then Proverbs, Solomon says, "No, you fear God, you are rich." And so how does that work? Am I blessed because I'm poor, or am I blessed because I'm rich? I mean, where does this go? Let me take it another level here. Let me talk about John. John, in his latter books, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he says, let me just read this. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he, so he's telling him, this is the anti-materialism text. Don't love anything in the world. Those handbags, oh, you know, be careful, right? Those watches and those cars and all those things that are in the world. Be very careful about these things in the world. Don't love these, because if you love these things in the world, man, I tell you, it's not going to be good for you. Then the love of the Father is not in you. The fear of God runs through us. And then, a few years later, he writes again. Another revelation. This is in 3 John. In the verse 2, there's only one chapter in 3 John. Beloved, I pray in that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Now, if you study this text, he's not talking about prospering spiritually, because he's already told you about your soul prospering. He's not talking about your health, because he's saying that you be in good health. If you really exegete this out and listen to the scholars, he's talking about being materially blessed. So here's John, only a few year gap between when he wrote 1 John and 3 John. And in 1 John, he says, don't love anything in the world. Money is bad. Don't materialism. No, none of these things. And then he goes and says, I pray that you would be materially prosperous. So, John, what is it? Are we blessed because we're poor? Or are we blessed because we're rich? Is being rich a sign of God's blessing, or is being poor a sign of God's blessing? Did you see this conundrum that we walk into in the scriptures? Right, the same guy seems to say two totally different things. And we see through the lens of scripture two very different approaches to wealth and to the poor. Some of you guys know, you know, in our teaching on giving and these things, that there are over 2,000 passages in the Bible that deals with stewardship, with finance, with money. Equally, I haven't had a chance to look this up, but I was reading an article, and a guy from World Vision was saying, in the same way, there's about 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with the poor. And so, I mean, it's just crazy how these things go back and forth in this regard. Now, so let's talk about poverty for a moment. Some Christians make poverty the height of spirituality, and they equate wealth with greed and with sin. And other Christians associate poverty with laziness or bad choices that are made by the poor. I don't know where your thinking goes in, but it's the different thoughts that Christians have. I want to tell you, it's even much more complex than that when you go through the text and when you go through life. Even identifying who are the poor is an incredible challenge. I mentioned to you earlier in my introduction here that so this past Thursday, we hosted a conference. The Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor came and used our facilities, and they graciously asked me to be a part of it, and so I welcomed. I led some of the prayer time, and it was an English forum, and so they tried to get a lot of the English churches, and a lot of the English churches came and just to discuss what we can do and have aware of the poor. We had actually a very high-ranking government official, a gentleman, Mr. Patrick Nip, who is a believer, who used to be the head of the Social Service Department, and now he's the head of the Information Systems Department. And he was tasked with coming up with the Hong Kong, was it the response or the survey? Is that right? That's right, on the poor in Hong Kong. And he was saying, and they did this very, very long, big study, because obviously the government is also very embarrassed by the fact that Hong Kong is the largest wealth gap in the world, and just trying to put policies in place and put funds in place where they can really help the poor here in Hong Kong. And he was honest. And as we looked at statistics and as he, you know, showed graphs and led us to his webpage or the government webpage and whatnot, even identifying who is actually poor was a very, very difficult task. And there was always time for a question and answer after each session. And there were always people that you know, shared questions. And it was really basically the same idea in this regard. So even identifying who's poor is difficult. But trying to analyze what causes poverty is even more difficult. Let me throw a few at you here. Is poverty the result of bad decisions that individuals make? Maybe, maybe not. Is poverty the result of harmful social structures? One of the questions that was asked to Mr. Nip during this time was the government's approach. The government basically, the Hong Kong government, looks at the relief for the poor primarily as an economic matter. In other words, what they feel like is the way that you really help the poor is to get the economy going. And if you can get the economy going, then you've heard, especially if you're an American, the trickle-down effect. In the United States, otherwise known as the Reaganomics, which we know actually doesn't work. And so that's basically been their approach, this trickle-down. Let's just build the economy, and if we build the economy, then the poor will be eventually helped as it trickles down. And you know, obviously, another pastor in this city took offense, but in a very nice way, to that kind of thinking as it was laid out. And so, you know, maybe the idea is maybe the social structures at work are what actually create harmful processes for the poor. Is poverty and homelessness the result of drug addiction? You know, before I moved to Hong Kong, in my youth pastor days, in my associate pastor days, in my college pastor days, we did a lot of outreach to the poor. And, you know, we used to make sandwiches every day, go out to Skid Row in L.A. We used to go up to San Bernardino, which is like a two-hour drive from where we used to live, because it was the murder capital of the United States at that time. And so we felt like we should go minister there. And so I had a team of young people, and we did it. We even got held up one time when we were in San Bernardino. Our senior pastor basically said, you guys can't go anymore. And I said, okay, I didn't argue with him, especially when someone put a gun, you know, right to my forehead. And so I said, okay, yeah, I'll stop going. No problem with that. But even in that, one of the conclusions that I came up with during this time was that homelessness was primarily the sin of drug addiction. But I realize now that that's not necessarily true. But it's easy for me to come up with those simple ideas or thought processes so it relieves me from helping anyone that's homeless. And we do that a lot of times. We get ourselves off the hook by making these statements that may be factually untrue, like I did personally myself. Another question we ask, is poverty a sign of God's judgment in that regard? Now, let's look at the other side of this coin. Let's look at the idea of wealth. So using those same questions, is wealth the result of good decisions that an individual makes? It's not. And so then we can answer the question on the poor as well. Is wealth the result of beneficial social structures? Well, yes and no. And so then we can answer the other question in that same way. Here's the last one. Is wealth a sign of God's blessing? I don't think so. And thus, we can answer the question on poverty maybe a little bit better as well. See, now, I'm not saying that the Bible is contradictory on this, even though it looks like it is. But rather, what I'm trying to say is this issue is very complex. It is very nuanced. Maybe what I simply want to say, and through the illustration that we gave, and I hope that afterwards that you come out and you take, it'll be on the stage, you take one of those pieces of paper and you go through this opportunity walk and just see how lucky you are, okay? More than anything else. You know, there's three stickers in front of you
They're not all yours. It's because we have three services, okay? And so, you know, I know some of you guys are a bit confused. So just take one sticker, and I would love to see at the end of this, you guys come up, and I just want to see, just put your sticker. If you're really curious, put your initials on that little sticker. You don't have to. And I would be just curious to see where you land here or there on this whole thing. And when you come up here, notice the two X's at the wall. I think that'll be startling for you when after you finish these 20 questions, correct? These 20 questions in that regard. And so what I want to talk about here when we talk about poverty is really more than anything else is the issue of opportunity. There are two extremes in thinking biblically and in socially about the poor, but again, our DNA as a church is finding that radical middle. Amen? And so in that radical middle, I just want to talk about two very simple things. One is opportunity. Say it to your neighbor, say, hey, good-looking opportunity. Jesus says something very startling. In Matthew 26, 11, he says, "You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." And so Jesus, this is when the people were complaining, why did she break that costly one-year salary? Can you imagine a middle-class person in Hong Kong, you know, let's say, makes, what, 40,000 Hong Kong dollars a year, a month. Someone do the math on that. I mean, can you imagine taking all that money that you have, what, 40,000, that's 400, 500,000, four, what, someone, the 480,000 Hong Kong dollars, and in one moment, just wasting it on Jesus. That's basically what happened. She spent a year's worth of wages pouring out this perfume, and people are saying, man, that could have been used for the poor, that could have been all these kinds of stuff. And then Jesus says, hey, man, you're always going to have the poor with you, but you're not always going to have me. What does Jesus mean by that? Does it mean that we are wasting our time trying to help the poor because they're always going to be there? It's like, what's the use of when we talk about poverty alleviation when Jesus said, the poor is always going to be there? So are we just supposed to have a very laissez-faire attitude and say, oh, well, I guess it doesn't really help if I help the poor because they're always going to be there? Right? And so why should I even bother to do these kinds? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. It's not what he's saying at all. Let me read Galatians 2:10. Paul, in his address to the church in Galatia, in response to the disciples, or actually the other apostles, he says that Peter and John and all these guys, in verse this Galatians 2:10, they only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. Listen, when Jesus says the poor you will always have with you, I believe what Jesus was trying to say, he wasn't saying neglect the poor. He was saying that, listen, church, listen, family of God, followers of Christ, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have things that other people don't have. And because the poor will always be with you, there will always be an opportunity for you to help. There'll always be an opportunity for you who are blessed to be a blessing. The poor you'll always have. In other words, you'll always be given opportunities to be the church. So he says to remember the poor, which we were always very eager this thing to do. Right? He's saying the poor will always be around for us to help. For us to not just think about ourselves, but think about others as more important than ourselves. Listen, brothers and sisters, let's just speak, cut to the chase, very, very, very heart to heart in this matter. Some of us in this room today, you're not growing your spiritual life because you are so self-centered. Let's just be very honest. Everything is about you. It's about what you want. It's about your mood, right? And in fact, you know, some of you guys throw temper tantrums at times because you don't get what you want and things. And can we just get out of that, get out of that orphan mindset
And let's just be generous. Let's be humble. Let's think about others as more important than ourselves. Let's be mindful. Let's remember the poor in this regard. Jesus is setting the stage for us, every one of us, giving us an opportunity to truly, truly be thankful. Now, I know some of us are deceiving ourselves by thinking, well, I'm Peace Sam. I'm generous to my wife. I'm generous to my kids. I'm generous to my family. Yeah, being generous to your family is being generous to yourself. There's no difference there. You know what I mean? I mean, you're basically serving yourself in that regard. But it's being generous to others, right? Thinking of others more important than yourself. And so please, let's get out of this mindset as much as we can. It's opportunity. God is giving you an opportunity today and every single day to remember the poor. The last thing I want to talk about this is really the issue of community. Community. In a simple way. You didn't see it, but the interview that I did on the video, and thank you, Sandeep, for putting that together, there was a lot of questions, but we only picked a few. But one of the questions that Janella posed to me during this time was this question of, do you think this will ever happen to you? You know, being homeless, or do you think this will ever happen to you? And I didn't even think about the answer. I just said, no, it's not going to happen to me. And listen why. It's not because I think I'm so capable or I think I'm so competent. No, nothing like that. God helped me to really understand that really what it's about is I don't think that'll ever happen to me because I have a community. I have a community. If I end up getting terminally ill, we end up losing, you know, what little wealth that we have, everything, losing the church. I mean, just thinking about just being totally destitute and all these things happen. I mean, I would like to believe that I have people that love me and a community around me that will pick me up. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Amen? Amen? All right, okay, good. All right, I got your back too if anything like that happens to you and things. But that, I mean, it always really struck me. Do you think this will ever happen to you? No, because we are so blessed and fortunate to be part of a community. I have family, aunts, uncles, dad, wife, hopefully children that will support me in my old age as I get older. And I'm not forcing them to, but out of the goodness of their hearts. But, you know, most of the poor that our outreach teams see in Hong Kong, I think that's primarily the issue. They don't have community. And during the talk on Thursday, this phrase kept coming time and time and time again, that people are so grateful when you visit. They're so grateful when you visit. They said, and a lot of these, they have family members in Hong Kong who never visit. And they have no community. And they feel so lost and alone and so destitute in the place. I think more than giving material needs, that's important. But the poverty, I think, that our teams see is not just about a lack of funds. It's really an emotional poverty. It's a poverty of loneliness. It's a poverty of being marginalized. It's a poverty of not having a community around them. Going back to the Galatians passage, chapter 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. See, understanding community, One of the biggest things is that as a family of God, we first and foremost, we take care of our own. For whenever you have opportunity, to all men, but especially in the household of faith. And you know somebody in our community that is struggling with spiritual poverty, financial poverty, or especially emotional poverty, you heard the words of Paul. Do good. Do good. I'm really so blessed to hear Jeffrey's testimony. You know, and he wasn't joking, man. These guys had been in church for years, and they'd have done nothing, right? I mean, you know, I know them because I married them years ago. And the reason why they came to church is because I married them. I made them come, basically. And so, but man, for years, these guys did jack. I'm not getting my frustrations out. I'm just a statement of fact. I love these guys, and they're both in my Experiencing God class right now. And I mean, honestly, if Jeffrey can do it, a guy that sat back, I mean, that was like powerful words. Inside, amen, brother. Honestly, and I mean, God's done such a deep work in his heart. Goes out every week, and just a simple obedience to the voice of the Spirit in his life. And it's just absolutely amazing. Every single one of us, we can inconvenience ourselves in some way to get involved. And really, honestly, not just in material resources, though those things are very, very helpful. You know, we at SP, you know, one of the things that we do really, really poorly, well, we do a lot of things well. One of the things we do really poorly is advertise what we're doing. And I want to tell you, our missions teams, our outreach teams, our your missions giving, you guys do SP does an incredible work of blessing those in Hong Kong by the organizations that we support, the finances that we give. You know, we give, and we're part of organizations that feed the poor. I mean, tons and tons of food every single week that goes out, and you guys are part of that in your material giving. Our ministry to the orphans and the widows and the poor, our ministry to new arrivals, our ministry to at-risk youth kids. And your giving just blesses and supports so much of that work that's going on. And I have the privilege of meeting these heads of these ministries and you know, meetings that I get pulled into, and how grateful that they are, and really how expressive their thanksgiving to the Lord and to our church for the things that we do get ourselves involved in. And so I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your partnership in giving material goods to help the less fortunate here in Hong Kong. But we are going to take a material offering in a moment as well. But with that said, I really want to challenge you this year and into 2016 to not just giving material resources, but lending your human resources. By you personally going out, by you personally getting your hands a little dirty, by you personally getting out of your comfort zones and helping out either through our outreach ministries or other outreach ministries, and develop your own. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to speak to you about how you can also remember the poor here in Hong Kong. Amen? Amen. So let's close our eyes. Let me invite the worship team up. We're going to take an offering right now. And like I said, this offering is going to go to the poor here in Hong Kong. Half of the money is going to go to the Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor and their initiatives in Hong Kong The other half of the money is going to go to the Solomon's Porch Missions Fund, primarily the outreach fund, that's going to go into support ministries and activities that help the poor in Hong Kong. Right? So, you know, none of this money is going to go to rent or pastor salaries or anything else or even to world missions. It's going to stay here in Hong Kong that we can somehow reduce that gap. So I'm going to pray for this offering, and I want to encourage you to be generous. But more than that, I know that this is impossible to do, but in your heart, I want you to put yourself in that offering and saying, Lord, this is, think of the financial resources that you're giving. Lord, this is a down payment. This is out of my hand that I'm putting this in the basket. But God, really, I'm giving you myself. And I commit this year to help the poor, not just materially, but with my actions in my life. Can we do that? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity that you give us to give. We thank you, God, that Paul reminds us that we remember the poor. And so, because of circumstances, some because of social structures and lack of opportunities, we have the poor among us, God. Lord, forgive us as citizens of this country, Lord, that we have the largest wealth gap in the world. God, we are ashamed, God. And help us, Lord, to be agents of change in some way. Lord, not only are we giving materially, but God, we commit to give ourselves to you. For you said, you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And ultimately, Lord, it's unto you, Lord. And so we thank you, God. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers, come. Why don't we take the offering?
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, long just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Let me read from 1 Corinthians 11 and invite the ushers to come forth for our Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, but does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. Let me also read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And part of what it means to partake in the Lord's Supper really means identifying with Christ's suffering. And this is how I want you to identify with him today. Paul writes very beautifully in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." That's what's God's heart. Even though he was rich, he became poor for us, that through his poverty we might be rich. I want you to identify with that. And in that same way, I want you to think about being Jesus to the poor and people around us, that you are materially blessed, and so be poor. Make yourself poor, that through your poverty, others would become rich. There's a quote that I read by a pastor named Mark Batterson, a very well-known pastor in the U.S. And he says, when your income level increases, right, don't spend on yourself. Let the level of your giving also increase. Most of us very poorly do that. We think, as God blesses us with more, that's more for us. Why not change our mindset and be like Jesus and identify with Christ? And as we increase, let our giving increase in that regard. That's what Jesus did. So let's bow our heads, and I just want you to reflect. The worship team is going to lead us. We're going to pass out the elements. I want you to hold on to them, and then we'll take it together as a church and just really reflect, God, how can I, who am rich, how can I be a blessing to the poor, that in my poverty, God, that others may become rich?
Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me now, to love, to speak, to heal, to preach. Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me now, giving life. You turn ashes to be. Take these hands of mine and use me. Pour your spirit over me. Let your love rain down. Would you take these feet around and lead me? Would you take this fear of mine and be
Is there anyone who's not yet received any of the elements? Why don't we bow our head and close our eyes, and as we hold these in our hands, let's reflect on the cross. He became poor that we may be rich. He gave everything for us. And so God challenged us to give some to the poor. That interesting? He gave everything for us. And he challenged us to just give some to the poor. Let's just respond to Jesus in thanksgiving and in honor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the cross. Jesus, we thank you for your loss. And we humbly come, God, and we say that we want to have your mind in us. Help us to look at others as more important than ourselves, God. Break us out of our selfishness, God, our self-centeredness, Lord. And help us to remember and be mindful of the poor. The poor in wealth, the poor in heart. The poor emotionally, God. The poor spiritually. Help us to be your hands and feet, God, into this community. We thank you for the opportunities that you have given to us, and the opportunity that you give to us now, God, to be agents of light. We bless you, God. We thank you. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. If you're able to, let's rise to our feet. And because we want you to take part in this little exercise that we have, I'm just going to do the benediction right now. So can you just grab someone's hand next to you? It's a sign of our unity. You guys can go across the aisle. It's okay. No one has cooties here. Let's pray. Let me just bless you guys. Father, just thank you. God, I thank you for your heart, God, that you so lavishly poured out upon us. We thank you for the opportunities, God, that you have given to us, and the opportunity that you're giving us to us today and tomorrow and the next day to be mindful of the poor, God. Teach us, Lord. Help us to just operate out of thanksgiving and all that you've blessed us with. God, that we would bless others. You are blessed to be a blessing. And so thank you for the privilege, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you have kids, please pick up your kids before you come up and do the drill. The questions are there, so pick it up, get a little tag. The response is there as well. So we want to encourage you guys to come up and maybe like six or seven at a time and see where you fall in line here. And then please put your dot on the floor of where you landed. Okay, bless you guys. Have a great week this week.